Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and you sound glad in it, so that's wonderful. Welcome to those who are present in person and those who are watching online. We pray that you will experience the presence of the living Jesus here today and throughout the Lenten season. Just a couple of quick announcements. One is that we are collecting this month for Operation Christmas Child toothbrushes, washcloths, and bars of soap. And you can place your donations in the box outside the Holman Hall. Also, don't forget, now 10 days from today, the Lenten Supper Series starts with dinner at 5:45, and be sure you sign up for that. You don't have to bring anything except your tummies. And that will be 3 weeks of services and dinner together. So please sign up. Those sheets are in Holman Hall to sign up. And then today, please join us following the worship service for our annual meeting, which will be held in the Fellowship Hall. And I understand there's cake again. And Mac has promised to keep it short. So thank you. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
Jesus calls us to be his disciples.
We take up the cross to follow him. The living God who welcomes us to worship now greets you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God of the covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all peoples into your arms and shelter us with your mercy, that we may rejoice in the life we share in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The journey of life inevitably leads to wilderness, times marked by guilt, frustration, and the sense that we are not in the right place. But even in the wilderness, God is with us. Even in the wilderness, God's mercy is sure. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Loving God, you have formed a covenant with us, committing yourself to us and inviting us to walk with you. Yet we have resisted, seeking other companions, going in different ways, thinking that we know best. Now we find ourselves far from life, further still from you. Have mercy on our waywardness. Help us find our way back. Give us faith so that we can hold the hand you have extended to us in Jesus Christ.
God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely, therefore, since we now have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you extend to us your promises for mercy and grace, but you also call us to change our ways, to take up our cross, and to follow you. And so we pray, O Lord, as your word is read and your gospel proclaimed, create in us new hearts that desire after you, that seek to do your will, and to glorify your name. Illumine your word, we pray, O God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have to say to us. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Through Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, starting in the 31st verse. As we've moved from our readings last week to this week, we've done sort of a time jump. The temptations of Jesus were at the very beginning of his ministry, actually right before he began his public ministry. But where we enter in now in chapter 13 of Luke, we're in the final weeks of Jesus' life on earth. We're in those final weeks of his ministry. So everything is really coming to a head now. It's not just teaching and miracles, but it's moving to the cross. So listen now to God's word. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. The season of Lent is all about a journey. It's about Jesus' journey. His journey from Galilee to the cross, from being understood only as a good teacher to being seen as the world's redeemer. And though many things may come in his way, there is nothing in heaven or on earth that could have stopped him from completing this path, even that old fox Herod. Luke chapter 9 tells us, so this is just before our reading, when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So at the right time, Jesus turned, and with his whole being, his whole will, everything, he set to walking the path, both literally and metaphorically, to walk the path to Jerusalem and fulfill his destiny. Now we may ask, what's so great about Jerusalem? I think as people of faith, as we've grown up in the church, we've sort of just take it for granted. Oh yeah, we know Jerusalem. It just makes sense that it happened there. But if you take a moment, you might ask yourself, does that really make sense? Why can't God accomplish his plan in any city, in any town? Why specifically Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem has a long history, as we know. For starters, in the Jewish worldview in the first century, Jerusalem was considered the center of the whole world. It was the center point. Ezekiel 5:5, the Lord says, "This is Jerusalem. I have set her in the center of the nations, with countries all around her." Now, people in the past took this quite literally, and you will see some ancient maps where the city of Jerusalem is centered in the middle, and then these big shapes that they considered the continents were coming off of it. Not exactly what we have today, but it was considered the center of the world. It was the turning point in some ways for the whole of creation. Not only this, but Jerusalem was the center of the religious world for the Jewish people. The temple stood at the center of the city, and at the center of the temple itself was the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt on earth. As the scholar Shay Cohen pictures, this is the place where God's finger, as it were, touched this wild and chaotic world and held it still. That's just a picture. This is the city where God made his promises tangible. And finally, Jerusalem's importance lies in the reality that it is the city that God loves. Psalm 78:68. Now, we shouldn't get carried away with this. It's not that God loved just a specific geographical location, as if these coordinates had the right numbers that he really preferred. But it's that the city itself was a representation of God's people. It represented the whole of those whom God claimed as his own. So when the Bible speaks of God's love and favor to the city of Jerusalem, he's really speaking and trying to show that the people that he has claimed are the object of his love. So the city represents the people. So now with these things laid before us, we might begin to imagine the deep sadness and grief in Jesus' words in our passage, his lament over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. You see, this city was meant to be the emblem of God's holiness and God's love. The prophet Zechariah says that it will be called the faithful city. Micah says that the word of God will go forth from its gates. Jerusalem literally means the city of peace. But it was no longer the city of peace, but the city of bloodshed. It could no longer be called faithful, but faithless. And instead of the word going forth, they killed those who bore God's word. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zechariah all found their bloody end in this city, killed by the very ones who they were sent to call back to God. The reputation of Jerusalem had changed. Instead of being a place where God gathered the outcasts and healed the brokenhearted, it became the city of violence and hard-heartedness. Jesus here was mourning the reality that the city that he loved had fallen so far, eventually becoming the place of his own execution. We have to keep in mind that this Jesus was the very same God who had formed this city, who had made his dwelling in this city, and who loved this city. And so he was grief-stricken. God's desire was that Jerusalem would find their refuge in him, under his wings. And that's why Jesus uses this image of the hen brooding over her chicks. Now, maybe some of you know, this is not just a Bible image. This is something that really does happen. It's not metaphor, it's fact. That when a fox or a fox like Herod maybe, when a fox or a coyote comes, the hen will gather her chicks literally under her wings. It's a sign of motherly love, of a love that has no end, that she would put herself between the danger and her children, her chicks. This is the image that Jesus uses to describe God's love for Jerusalem, that he would put himself in harm's way that he might protect them. And yet they were unwilling to be gathered in. Jesus wasn't talking about the city. No, his lament over the city was a lament over God's people. They had traded faith with faithlessness. They chose bloodshed over peace. Throughout the Gospels, we read that Jesus bemoans this faithless generation who would not believe his words or see the power of his miracles. God's people were twisted in on themselves, aligning with the powers of the world against the power of their God. They aligned with the political powers of the day, the Roman oppressors. They aligned with the social powers of the day, the religious elite. The people betrayed their values in exchange for prestige. They chose the strength of worldly principalities over the refuge of their God. Jesus was lamenting over the people. And in some ways, this is not so far from our current reality. Jesus could be talking to the church in our day. We see on the news and across social media, believers who have aligned themselves with the powers of this world so that they may gain power for themselves, allying themselves with certain political factions or economic strongholds in exchange for prestige and position. Believers that have betrayed the values of Jesus for the comfort and position of the world. Now, not only is it out there, but it's in here. We ourselves, we turn from the ways of God and become unwilling to be gathered under God's wings so that we could remain in our comfort and our complacency. And now I'm speaking of myself here. Choosing to remain in my comfort zone instead of listening when God calls me to act, holding grudges or flashing anger at somebody, especially those who cut me off in traffic, who get in the way in the grocery store. It may sound silly, but this anger Jesus equates with committing murder in our own hearts. not being willing to be challenged by God's word, instead trying to fit it into my own preconceived notions and ideas. This is just me. But it's true for all of us. We all become the Jerusalem over which Jesus lamented when we place our own comfort, our own position, even our own religiosity over what God desires. Choosing faithlessness over faith, we act as if Christ was only a figment of our imagination. We betray the values of Jesus to serve our own ends. Now, if someone betrayed us like that, we might be in our right to cast them off, to leave them to themselves forever. But our God doesn't treat us this way. No, this is the good news of our God, that even when we try to shrug God off, when we betray our commitments to him, when we rebel against him, God still desires to gather us in, as a mother gathers her chicks. Even though we deserve none of God's kindness, he gives it to us anyway. Jesus knew that Jerusalem would be the place that he would meet his end, his earthly end, and yet he still walked the path towards it. He committed to seeing it through to the end because he knew that this was the only way that he would be reconciled with unwilling people. This is the marvelous mystery of Christ, that he would take the means of the people's rebellion and use it for their redemption. For on the cross, he bore the full weight of our rebellion, of our betrayal, so that we might then be free to choose him, to be gathered under Christ's wing. The image of the mother hen is not just of motherly love, but of sacrificial love. Protecting the vulnerable by putting oneself in harm's way. Jesus suffered our betrayal so that we would find in him our life again. And even when we fall, when we turn again back from God's way, as we often do, Christ welcomes us back with open arms and forgiveness because of what he would accomplish in Jerusalem. And so the question Jesus is asking each of us this morning is this: what is our willingness to turn again and be gathered under God's wings? Will we continue in the current way we are walking? Or will we recommit ourselves wholeheartedly to the path of faith? Are we willing to lay aside our selfish concerns, our comfort, our complacency, and to find freedom in his loving embrace? This is Christ's prayer for us this day. And all we must do is return to faith, place our trust in him again, not in the powers of this world. And Christ will gather us up in the refuge of his wings. May you in this Lenten journey cast all that aside that keeps you from God, and so dedicate your life to him. Glory be to his name. Amen. Let us pray. Our good and gracious God, you desire to gather your people together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Make us willing in mind and in heart to be gathered in, and so be faithful in following your ways. And hear us, O Lord, your children, as we lift before you our prayers. Creator of all things are in your hands, and you ordain all things that come to pass. Grant peace and justice to flow in all lands, that nations may turn from their ways and walk in your way. We pray, O Lord, for all those who mourn and are still at risk after the tornadoes in Missouri, in Arkansas, in Kansas, and elsewhere. We pray, keep your people safe. Send out helpers to come alongside in the aftermath and comfort those who have lost. We pray for our local and state government, O God, that you would give them wisdom and discernment to govern justly and for the common good, not seeking the desires of self, but to have hearts for service. We pray, O Lord, help us in our living to care for one another in our community and beyond, especially those whom the world has rejected. Redeemer of all, by your death on the cross, you freed us from the enslaving power of sin, and by your resurrection, you have gathered us as your own. Grant your church wisdom to be faithful to your gospel and to reject the powers of this world. We pray, O Lord, especially for your church in Belgium, that you would bless and sanctify their ministry, that they may remain faithful, and that you would prosper the work of their hands as they seek to be your body in that nation. We pray for our mission partner, Frontier Fellowship, as they seek to equip churches at the frontiers of the world in indigenous communities and churches to proclaim Christ and him crucified. Prosper their work and give them direction and power to do your will. And we pray, O Lord, for this church, which you have called Hebron. Give us courage and strength. Give us wisdom and discernment. And above all, send your Holy Spirit to empower us to seek your face and to run after Christ, who is leading the way. Sustainer of all, you care for the least and the lost. You heal the wounded and bind up the brokenhearted. Grant your sustaining presence to all who suffer this day in body, mind, and spirit. We give you thanks for good news and for changed circumstances in the lives of many. And we lift before you all the cares of our hearts, especially those we name in this quiet moment. O Holy Trinity, we commend into your hands all our cares, trusting that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus calls us to take up our cross and to follow him. So let us dedicate our life and labors to the Lord and to the building up of his kingdom. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you give us good and plentiful gifts that we may use in the world. And so we give back just a portion of that as first fruit offering to glorify your name for the building up of your church and for the proclamation of the gospel. Sanctify these gifts, and may we use them as good stewards. In Jesus' name, amen. Stretched out his arms on the cross to welcome you in, to gather you as a hen gathers her children under her wings. And so as we look to the cross, as we consider it, as we glory in it, let us turn from the ways of the world and recommit ourselves to Christ. And as you do so, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.